Psalm 32, of course, asked the Lord these last few days to direct me in what to bring tonight, as I always do. And I got to looking at this, and I thought, well, I really do not know personally anyone that this will apply to specifically. But then I got to thinking, well, it applies to all of us. I want to try and deal with making decisions. My thought for this evening is this: discerning divine direction about difficult decisions. Discerning divine direction about difficult decisions. And I thought about this, that almost automatically makes you think about big decisions. But every decision is a big decision. So many times, as they say, the doors of time swing on small hinges, and that's surely true. Sometimes the smallest of decisions that we make has the biggest of consequences. We don't even realize, would not even dream that doing this or going there or deciding this instead of that, taking the right instead of the left, and the consequences. But we need to make sure that we choose the right thing, no doubt. Look in verse 8 and verse 9. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. It literally means that we're supposed to be close enough to the Lord to where all he had to do is just kind of nod his head. That we look in his eyes and we can discern what we should do, what direction we should go. Notice, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be it not as the horse or as the mule, which hath no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come unto thee. He said, I will guide you. I will lead you in the right way. So he says, don't be like old stubborn mule or a stubborn horse. Don't make me make you. I have several things. I have two thoughts for this evening. I want to ask us some questions. First, some questions that are personal. I have probably about 8 or 9 points on two things. So I got about 15 points to cover tonight, so I guess you better listen in a hurry. I see some of you already nervous. I don't blame you. I am too. Questions that are personal. I ask you first, if I am to know what to do, if I'm to make the right decision, first I want to ask myself, could you ask yourself the same question? Am I saved? That's a simple question, but we better start there. If we're not saved, we have no apparatus to hear God. We don't have the receiver. I hear no radio music right now. I don't hear a preacher preaching or a rock and roll band or a rap artist, if you want to call them artists. I don't hear it, but at this very moment, all those waves are coming through here. And if we had the receiver, we could turn it on and hear that's coming through here. And a person who is not saved does not have the receiver. They can't hear God. They have no idea what the voice of God says. They are apt and prone to make the wrong decision. He said, I will guide thee personally. I will instruct thee personally. That's through the Holy Spirit. So ask yourself first, if I'm going to make the right decision, I better make sure first that I'm saved. I ask the second question. It's questions that are personal. Just ask yourself, am I saved? Number two, am I right? In verse 9 it says, be ye not as the horse or as the mule. He said, don't be stubborn natured. If you want to know my opinion, if you want to know which way you should go, you better not start by saying, I don't like that. That ain't what I want. Sometimes I think we tell God that in our attitude, if not with our words, even before he tells us what he wants. For an example, What do you think about this? Going to Africa and living the rest of your life. Or going to Wisconsin or Utah or Trinity. I mean, we ought to ask ourselves, am I right? Am I at the point in my life where if God did speak to me, I could hear Him? We're not right with God, even though we may be saved. I'm talking about a saved person. Am I right? Are you right? If He did speak to me, could I hear Him? Is there any sin in my life that would hinder? We need to get our minds spiritually clear. Paul said it like this, be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world. In other words, don't let the sin and the effect and the influence of the world affect you. Be not conformed to this world. He says, live right, be right. But be it transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove, listen, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. He said if you want to hear what God says to direct you in His will, you got to have a spiritually clear mind, not cluttered with the world. I ask you this question. Am I saved? Am I right? My third question is this. I'm doing pretty good so far, ain't I? Am I willing to obey? I meant as far as the time frame, not what I'm saying. I hope I'm saying something pretty good too. Am I willing to obey? He said, be not like that horse. Don't be like the mule who has that stubborn nature who automatically is saying, I don't want to. I don't like that. That ain't the way I want to go. That ain't what I want to do. Ask yourself, I say to almost every person who asks me about a decision, I say, are you willing to do what God says? If He tells you what His will is, are you willing to do it? Ask yourself, am I willing to do what the Lord says, or am I stubbornly saying, I don't want that, I want to do my will? If He shows you, will you do it? If He makes it clear, are you willing? You see, if He knows we're not going to listen, He may not even tell us. He does not shell out His truth. He does not spill out His words carelessly. So ask yourself, am I willing to obey? The next thing, have I really prayed? And I mean really prayed. I mean really prayed. Have you spent time praying, asking God, what do you want? What is your will? I'm afraid we mutter little prayers before bedtime. And when we get up in the mornings as we are busily getting ready for the day, and maybe every once in a while we're driving down the road, but listen, if we're going to have the answer, if we're going to have the answer to this question about God, what do you want me to do? What is your will in this decision? We must pray and pray fervently. Verse 8, God says, I will guide you with mine eye. The implication I've already said is so we're so close to Him and we are so in touch with Him. All He's got to do is just sort of nod His head, just dart His eye. Just the slightest movement, the slightest word, and we're ready to obey. We're ready to hear. Jesus said, He will guide you into all truth. One thing for sure, without prayer, we're probably going to make the wrong decision. My next question, I'm asking us to ask ourselves some personal questions. The next one is this, have I looked in the Word of God? Oh, this is more than just a book. It is our manual. It is our roadmap. It is our instruction book. It is a how-to book to please God and walk in His will. I've said it before. Back when I first got saved, I got mixed up in the charismatic movement. And I'll tell you what, I was as topsy-turvy in my mind as a termiting in a yo-yo, as they say. I did not know who was telling me the truth. The independent Baptist church I was going to the Sunday night, Sunday morning, and Wednesday night, or that charismatic group I went to on Thursday. I tell you, I could not discern. I did not have the maturity. I hadn't been saved long enough to know. And along in my old shack that I lived in that day, I said, I am not coming out until God shows me. And finally, in desperation, I would not recommend this, but in mercy, God had mercy on me. I flipped my Bible open and read some verses. And from the Word of God, God led me out of that false doctrine just from reading two verses. And He showed me what I should do. Now, I'll tell you, that was mercy, and I would not recommend that. Sometimes you're so desperate, that's all you got left. But I will say this. If we're to make the right decision, we must get in this Word and read this Word and ask God, speak to me, direct me, let this Bible show me what I should do. I will say this, what He shows you to do, what He shows me to do, will not be contrary to God's Word. I've had people tell me, then God, after a divorce, and I know this is a touchy subject, but I'll still tell you, after a divorce, and preachers have told me this, that God told me to marry somebody. Well, I don't believe that. Now, I'm not talking about the subject of divorce necessarily, but when it comes to preachers, I want to tell you, I think you get one chance. That's it. And I do not believe that God is going to tell somebody to do something if this Bible says it's wrong. If He says in this Word it's wrong, He ain't going to tell me or you that it's okay. Have you looked in the Word? Have you gotten in it? Don't let circumstances dictate your decision. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable doctrine for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It instructs us how to live right. Have you gotten in the Word? Next question, personal question. How will this affect me spiritually? If I do this, how will it affect me? If I do that, how will it affect me? My decision is important because every decision I make is going to affect my life spiritually somehow. Paul said it like this, all things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. He said there are some things it's okay for me to do, but it will not help me spiritually. It will not build me up. And it's better, says Paul, which by the way was the Lord speaking. He said there's some things better not to do because it ain't going to help you spiritually. How will this affect me spiritually? How will it affect my spiritual walk? Let me throw this in. I may say it again. Don't assume that if the decision you make is going to make it a difficult path, that means it's not God's will. Sometimes God's will is the most difficult path. And that is most hard and most difficult. Ask yourself, how will this affect me spiritually? It may just be God's wanting you to walk that path to help you to mature, to develop you, to make you trust God. Because it is difficult. The next question, do I have inner peace? And I mean by that, has God given us peace about the decision we make? Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God. It's something I can't explain. It's like when I'm trying to decide what to preach. I'll look at that verse or these notes or that subject, and it's like, ain't going nowhere. And then I'll look at something, to be honest, there's a fault there, and to be honest, that's all there is. And I tell you, if I said everything I knew about it right then, it'd take me about 2 minutes, and maybe some of y'all would like that. But I think I do not know enough to preach on that subject. But God said, that's still it. In my mind, in my heart, it's like, that's it, that's it. Stay on that. If I stay on that, God will give me things where it'll take more than 2 minutes for me to say it to your demise, probably. Do I have inner peace? Does the Holy Spirit say yes? Now, there's times where just a real deep, settled peace just doesn't seem to come. But I want to tell you one thing. If you don't have a measure of peace, you better beware. You better be careful. Questions that are personal was my first point. I did pretty good with that one. Questions that are personal, but then secondly, questions that are practical. Because the decisions we make affect our lives and our walk with the Lord and our effect and influence on others. And my misery or my glee, maybe for the rest of my life. So I've asked first that we ask ourselves some personal questions. Now I want to go through some practical questions. Number one, do I have all the facts? He said, I will instruct thee, which means he tells us what we need to know to where we can make a wise decision. If I don't know all the facts, I probably don't know enough to make a wise decision. I'll stumble into it, maybe, or I may do the wrong thing because I don't have all the facts. I don't have all the information. You ever heard one side of the story? And you come to a commitment, you make a decision, you pass your opinion, and then you hear the other side of the story, and all of a sudden you think, oh, really? Is that how it really was? And your opinion suddenly is different because you've now all got all the facts, not just part of them or the twisted ones. Proverbs 19:2 says, also that the soul be without knowledge, it is not good. And he that hasteth with his feet sinneth. He said, the person who makes a decision without all the knowledge is a bad thing. But he says the person who does it in a hurry without even considering God's will, he says it's more than just bad, it's sinful. And sure it is, because we're doing something opposed to God's will. The practical question, number one, do I have all the facts? Proverbs 18:13, he that answereth the matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. The second practical question, what do people say? This is a tricky one. But now, not your unspiritual acquaintances who wouldn't know God if he knocked them straight in the head. But if you've got some spiritual friends or spiritual acquaintances that you can talk to, or they know the situation and they give you their spiritual input or advice or opinion, what do people say? Now, this is a tricky, because everybody in the world may be against it, but if God says go that way, you got to go that way. I'll say it at the end. I hope we answer only to God. I don't want to say that just once. I hope the Lord will help me remember it. We answer only to God, and even though people are sometimes a tool that God can use, what do people say? Proverbs 11:14, where no counsel is, the people fall. He said, person that don't care about anybody's opinion or doesn't ask for anybody's advice, they probably going to mess up. In fact, he says they will mess up. But the rest of the verse says this, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Ask people that you trust, that you know the Lord. What do you think about it? How do you feel? And again, you can't base your decision solely on what they think, but it can help. It can help you point in the right direction. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I promise you, if you got a friend that'll tell you the truth, you better say, thank you, Lord, for that friend. The unfaithful friend will say, oh my goodness, that dress really does look good on you, when it really looks really, really bad. I hope they wouldn't say, you look terrible. I mean, that is the most ugliest thing I ever seen in my life. I hope they wouldn't say that. But if it is ugly, you need to know it's ugly. A person who loves you enough to tell you the truth, even though you may get mad, that's a good friend. I promise you, I've said this before, some of the things that have been told me by my good friends were things I really didn't like when they said it. Sometimes I almost came close to getting mad. I say that because I don't want to feel so bad about myself. There were sometimes I didn't like it, but then I got to thinking, you know, God used them, and I needed to hear that. Counselors, people who tell us the wounds and things that hurt us sometimes. The last thing you want to hear, somebody says, I don't think that's a good idea. Might ought to give that some thought, consideration. Proverbs 10:17, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. You're heading down the right path if you keep the instruction in mind and what someone has taught you and someone has led you and their opinion and their advice. If you're heading down that way, you're heading down the road of life. But he that refuseth reproof erreth. Somebody says, I don't care. I don't agree with that. And almost everybody says that. Then somebody stubbornly says, I don't believe that. They're probably heading to some error. The next question, what will it cost? I'm talking about some practical questions now. If I do right. See, every decision we make is going to have some cost. Some effects involved. We make this decision. If I go left, what's it going to cost? If I go right, what's it going to cost? We need to measure the results. And Jesus said nobody builds without preparing and planning ahead. Lay out the cost. Look ahead. Ask yourself, will it be worth it? Will I be glad I did it after I did it? If I do it the way I'm thinking about. Proverbs 27:12, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. He said the prudent, the wise man sees, oh, Mo, there's trouble heading that way. I ain't going that way. But the unwise just wanders on down the path. And it's punished. They pay for it. What will it cost? The next question. Am I looking for the easy way? Sometimes the easy way is not what God wants. Thank the Lord, sometimes it is. Relief. Help. What you want is what God says to do. But we need to ask ourselves, am I just looking for the easy way out? I said again, sometimes God's will is the most difficult thing you'll ever do. The next question, have I considered the warning signs? God will give us some warning signs if we're going the wrong direction. He said, y'all guide you with my eye. It may just be, if we really look, he's giving us a stern look. No. You ever had that look when you were little from your parents? Didn't have to say a word. Because you knew that meant, whoa, I'm about to do or I am doing something that ain't going to be good. Ask yourself, have I considered the warning signs? The Lord will give us some warning signs, but we got to watch for them. There'll be some road stops. There'll be some obstacles. He's going to try and stop us. He'll try and hinder our path. But we've got to pay attention to them. The next question, would it be wise to wait? Sometimes what we're thinking about is God's will, but not right now. Later on, I remember Tim White saying, I've told you this before, you that have been here forever. Tim White's preacher friend, and he fell in love with a girl, boy. They were planning on getting married, and he was so thrilled and so excited. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, she broke up with him. And he said, it broke my heart. And I asked God, why in the world did you let this happen? I wanted to marry her. I loved her. I thought it was your will. And then a few years later, he met Becky and fell in love with Becky. They got married. And he said, I heard him. More than one time I've heard it. I am so glad I waited for Becky. It may not be God's will right now. Maybe later on. Don't know. It's up to you to find out. Ephesians 5, 15, 16, 17. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Be careful how you spend your time because there's a bunch of evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Next question. How will this affect my witness? Can't just think about ourselves. We got to consider, how will this affect my witness? What will lost people think if I make this decision or that decision? Now, I want to tell you, I hope you're applying this to your life. I hope you're not just putting it on big, gigantic decisions. And that does apply. But our simple decisions every day make such a difference. Proverbs 25, verse 26, a righteous man falleth down before the wicked. This is a troubled fountain and a corrupt spring. He said, a righteous man that falls down in front of a wicked, in front of the ungodly. Listen, it's like a troubled fountain or a corrupt spring. It's no good. It causes damage, causes harm. How will it affect my witness? How will it affect those that are close to me? 1 Corinthians 8, 9, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. If I do it this way, will it hinder somebody? Will it affect a weak brother or will it hinder a lost person? Next question, is there a better option? Here's a decision. My first choice, choice A. My second choice, choice B. And that's the only choices I have. Oh, no. God may have a choice C that I don't even know about yet. Have I considered all the options, and is there a better option than what I know about now? If I wait a little while and pray a little while, will God open something that I don't even see now? What's the best option, I should say, instead of just better? And then lastly, it's not a question, it's a statement. God's way is always best. There's nothing better on earth than God's will, God's way in our lives. If we do right, we will be glad. Sometimes, not immediately, because sometimes doing right will cost you and it'll hurt. And you'll have to pay a price. Joseph did right. It didn't always end up real good for him. But I know one thing, at the end, he was glad. If we do right, we'll be glad. And if we do wrong, we will be sad. We will wish we hadn't. Doing right always leads to joy and gladness eventually, and doing wrong always leads to misery. I'll say it again. Maybe I'm done. We answer only to God. It's His will. I'm His. My life belongs to Him. Sure, there's people involved. Sure, I'm to consider them. It's a part of it, but the bottom line is, if I make everybody mad and him glad, I've done the right thing. And usually it doesn't happen that way. But sometimes it will. Now, I'll be honest. I studied this again today, and I thought, who is this for? And I just thought, well, I don't know. But I know that's what God said to do, and I've done it. But I'll just say this again. Sometimes a simple decision, changing jobs, who you going to marry, I don't know if that's simple, changing neighborhoods, buying another car. Even where you going to eat tonight, sometimes it seems so insignificant, can be so important. I heard just last day or two, a preacher that had visited all day long, he'd gone to this hospital, that hospital, the other hospital. He got home and he was tired and the phone rang. There's a lady from his church saying, "My brother's in the hospital, will you go and see him?" And her brother was in one of the hospitals and he had just left. So he didn't get mad, he was a good preacher. And he went back to that hospital and her brother had been discharged. Wasn't even there. So he said, "I did grumble a little bit then to myself." He says, "I was walking down the hall, heading back home, tired and worn out, grumbling to myself." And he said, "There's a little black lady in a wheelchair." Says, "Hey, are you a preacher?" And he says, "Yes." She says, "I have been sitting here for a long time waiting for somebody to come and pray for me." He said he got down on one knee and started praying for that woman. And she put her hand on top of his head and started praying for him. And she said it was like a preacher coming out of that woman. And he said, "Oh, I realized all of a sudden this one decision of going back that day instead of waiting to the next made all the difference in the world." You see, our little decisions sometimes we just don't know. That's why we need to walk with him all the time and listen to him all the time. Now, let's stand together. Thank you.